adore forever and forevermore.
Amen. You may be seated. Hear again the word of the Lord. I have set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. In the name of Jesus, amen. Dear Christians, the rainbow is a divine sign of a sacred promise that God makes to all those who dwell upon the face of the earth, man and animal alike. My wrath is satisfied. Behold, I have put down the instrument of my warfare. The account of the flood is from Genesis 6 through 9. And it's something that I think, you know, the fact that we learn it in Sunday school kind of makes it maybe a little bit more, we're more used to it than maybe we should be. Because the flood really should terrify us. It really should. Because it shows us the wrath of God against sin. In Genesis 6, we read this: "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them." The Lord sees our sin, sees the multiplying of violence and adultery and theft, of lies and covetousness, not to mention the rejection of Him, their Creator, who made them. See, God's anger burns against the breaking of the Ten Commandments, and we see that nowhere else more violently and totally than here in the flood. God sees that man's evil is not a simple thing. It's not like God just needs to send a self-help book to maybe improve morale or emotional intelligence or have better conversations. Man's heart is evil. You see that? Did you hear that there in Genesis chapter 6? Every intention of the thoughts of his heart was on evil. That was God's assessment. Just a few generations, 10 generations or so after Adam and Eve had fallen, and it was so bad that God decided to send the flood. And he sent the flood because and for the sake of you, dear Christian, because of the promise. See, and we're going to get into this a little bit later, the rainbow is a sign of God's judgment and wrath, but also a sign of God's mercy and forgiveness. Because the line of Christ, the promise that was made to Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3 about the seed of the woman who would crush the serpent Satan, that seed, that offspring, was being threatened. The evil of mankind was so great that it seemed like even Noah, the man through whom God was going to bring about the Christ, even his life was threatened and in danger. And therefore, the whole mission of salvation, your salvation, was at risk. And so because of the evil of mankind, God sent the flood to destroy all those who rejected God, all those who broke his commandments. We see here in the flood the wrath of God against sin. That sin is not just something, you know, a little something, a little white lie, an innocent thought, something, a deed of no consequence. But it starts and is rooted in the heart. And the wrath of God is revealed against all, evilness, wickedness, all rebellion against His commandments. And the rainbow is a sign of this. It's a reminder to us, dear Christians, about the wrath of God against sin. But also, it's a sign about God's mercy, His love, His faithfulness. And this is where, you know, I mean, obviously we all know that the rainbow is a sign of a lot of other things in our day and age, in our culture. But we need to see here that before it was a sign of anything else, it was a sign established by God of a promise. That God was going to continue to keep the promise of the seed that would crush Satan. And also that God now has made a new promise. That He will not again destroy the entire earth with a flood. And every time we see the rainbow, whether it's in the clouds or on someone's enamel pin, we remember that. We think about what God has done for us. Through not just the rainbow, but through the cross. See, this is where I would like to encourage you, dear Christians. We don't need to so much reclaim the rainbow, like I'm sure we get every, you know, June, maybe sermons about this. We just need someone up there to fix it all and to change the marketing or something like that. No. Instead, we should let unbelievers who wear that enamel pin remind us of our God. We need to reframe it, not reclaim it. Let them make stickers and pins and flags. Because every time they do that, it reminds us of the God who was crucified for us. See, in our time, the rainbow is a sign of celebrating sin. But God uses it as a sign to condemn sin. It is used as a sign of acceptance. But for God, it is a sign of forgiveness and mercy. Take heart, dear Christians, in this dying age. Because Jesus Christ, the Lord of angel armies, abides with us. The rainbow is Jesus' sign to use as He sees fit. To remind you of His wrath. And most especially of His mercy. It's not a sign that anyone can just commandeer and remove all of the meaning that Jesus Christ gives to it. Use that sign as you go about your life, as you come down 7th Avenue in Grants Pass, as a reminder, the God who was crucified, who poured out His blood, taking upon Himself all of the wrath that your sin deserved, and instead offering to you the forgiveness of all your sins. So that's the distinction for a Christian. It's not about ignoring sin. It's about confessing it and being forgiven of it. It is the one that is written into our entire language. We call it a rainbow because it is God's bow. The weapon that He was using to fire water out upon us, to rain down His arrows of wrath and anger, that He has now set down in the clouds. The sword is sheathed. The gun is holstered. The wrath is satisfied. And the judgment is complete. Just as He said from the cross, it is finished. And 3 days after Christ died upon the cross, we learn the truth. He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
And the tomb is empty. And that is the proof that His sacrifice, His offering, satisfied the wrath of God that stood against your sin, against my sin. Jesus Christ is the sacrifice that satisfies the wrath of God. It is the exchange of the one who is perfectly just and innocent and righteous for the one who is unjust, who is not innocent, who is not righteous, whose every thought is inclined to evil. Jesus Christ's sacrifice means that your sins are paid for. You are redeemed through his blood. And he reminds you of this each week with those words given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Because of that forgiveness, you and I get to be like Noah. We get to walk through the waters that are destroying this earth, knowing that we are immortal now. That nothing on this earth can kill us, not truly. They can kill our bodies, but only God is the one who controls and exercises power over the soul. God is the one who can raise us up. God is the one who will bring us into his everlasting kingdom that will have no end. That's what baptism is. That's the symbolism of being buried and made alive. Because we were crucified with Christ, as Paul says in Romans 6, and raised. We were dead and have been made alive. How? By the water and the word, the sign of God's adoption. Do you doubt that adoption, dear Christian? Here, take and eat his very body and blood, those very things that he feeds your faith with, and offers to you the medicine of immortality as a reminder every week of his love and mercy. All the while, recall that he is coming again to judge the living and the dead. That means you, dear Christian, don't need to fear the anger of mankind. Whether it's your boss, your coworker, the government, or your child. For every knee will bow. But it won't be to President Biden, to President Trump, to Putin, to Pope Francis, or to any of the powers of this age that every knee will bow. Instead, every knee will bow before the crucified Lamb in his kingdom, the bloodied Savior whose offering has made us clean and acceptable in his sight. This is Christianity, dear Christians. And I want to call you to remember that every time you see in this wicked and adulterous generation, which worships the creation rather than the Creator, every time you see that symbol, own the symbol that God has written into the very creation, the molecules of water and light itself, the seven-colored banner of his wrath and his mercy that flow from the red of anger to the violet of peace and of your conquering King. For in that sign, in that symbol, you are reminded, he is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Your sins are paid for. You cannot die now. Sealed by the water, fed by the body and blood, you are redeemed. This is the Christian faith to which we cling until he returns, so that we, like Noah, would become heirs of the righteousness that comes by faith in him. In the name of Jesus, amen.